we're still in Israeli time. Getting up at 2:30 in the mornings. We're not getting so badly now. We got up at 4 this morning, I think, so. But I confess to you, I was a little bit despondent on Friday. I don't always get that way, but I was a little bit despondent. My wife was working about 6 o'clock in the morning at this time, or 5:30. I was in my study at home, poring over the texts, praying, "Oh God, don't let me preach on what I do not want to do." All the time my soul was there, just feeling quite down. And I heard the footsteps up the hallway, and my wife came and she said, "Honey, you have to see this." This is confession. I thought, "Oh, I don't want to see anything right now. I don't want to see anything right now." Well, I thought my wife wanted me to see it. Go and see it. And she said, "Look at the beautiful sunrise over there." And as I came out of my study and I looked through the kitchen window, I saw a picture so beautiful that I was lost for a moment in time with wonder and with praise, and pretty soon I forgot why I was despondent and I was once again elevated in my soul. I will praise the Lord. Personally motivated. There are times, my friends, when nothing around us calls for praise. Nothing. There are times when there is absolutely no reason why we should praise. But I turn your attention to an Old Testament book called Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, as some people say. Listen to these words. We come to the end of Habakkuk chapter 3, and he says this: "Though the fig tree does not blossom, or should not blossom, and the field produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet." Habakkuk is saying, though the eyes see absolutely no reason to praise God, though the mind knows absolutely no reason to praise God, yet I will bring the stimulus to myself and I will rejoice in the Lord. Praise does not come easy. It is necessary, but it does not come easy. It is personally motivated. I challenge you, my friends, like Habakkuk, to see why you should praise God when there's no reason. The only reason is that God is. God is. Personally motivated. But praise is personally maintained. Listen to the psalmist again. "I will praise the Lord while I have my being, while I live." I want you to go through a bit of logic with me. "I will praise the Lord while I have my being." If God was worthy to be praised yesterday, and God is eternal, and God doesn't change, and I have only 80, 70, 80, or 90 years the most upon the face of this earth, if God was good yesterday, and God never changes, so God is good today, so God never changes, so God is good tomorrow, so while I have my being, I will praise the Lord. At every point of my life, I will praise the Lord, because God is. And I will maintain this attitude of praise, because my focus will be upon Him who is my praise. My whole attention will be given not so much to what is being done or what is not being done. It will be upon Him who is doing it, or He who delays doing it. Praise, my friends, is personally maintained. Look, if you please, to what the hymn writer puts it. "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Praise is personally maintained. We must bring ourselves, we must speak to ourselves, says Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. We must speak to ourselves and teach ourselves to praise God because He's worthy of praise. There is never a time that God will not be worthy of praise. We see it from the church on earth to the church in heaven. While I have my being, I will praise the Lord. Listen, friends. If our existence here does not end at death, and here we praise God, we have being in heaven, and what will we be doing in heaven? Praising Him. Praising Him. I will praise the Lord while I have my being from earth to heaven. That is my theme. Well, come to the third point of our message this evening, the power of Christian praise. The power of Christian praise. I call your attention to Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm 50, and this is God speaking through the psalmist.
Psalm 50,
verse 23. He who offers a sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, or praise, as the King James says, honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. Great verse, great verse. I won't exaggerate, I will simply apply it. The power of Christian praise, my friends, first of all, is this. When we train ourselves to praise the Lord, we develop a life that is approved by God. A life that is approved by God. He who offers the sacrifice of praise glorifies me. God says this. I want you to see what the psalmist is saying. To offer a sacrifice was something that God Himself demanded in the Old Testament. The Levitical system gave specific instructions as to how each sacrifice was to be offered to God. No sacrifice was offered in the Levitical system by the will of man, only by the revelation of God. This is how it is to be done. And when that sacrifice was offered, when it met, if you please, in obedience to God, all His demands, then God answered one way or another. He showed His approval by what He did in response to the sacrifice that was being offered. Now the psalmist comes to us and he says, he who offers the sacrifice of praise, which reminds us again that praise is not natural, it is a sacrifice. But the idea of a sacrifice here, my friends, as I understand it, is that we bring together, as we are going through our pilgrimage here on earth, we bring together all our faculties to understand, to gain, to grow in the knowledge of God. And we bring the character of God to bear upon our minds, His works, His worthiness, His power, His grace. We bring this, and this is what we put on the altar of sacrifice. We soon forget where we are in offering this sacrifice to God. And before we know it, we see ourselves, we find ourselves beginning to grasp something of the worthiness of God, and that praise then becomes a sacrifice because we have been focusing as a sacrifice on His character, and now it is transforming our very being, and we are being lifted up from the ordinariness of life to the extraordinariness of life because God approves our lives. He approves of that. He who offers praise honors me. To honor God, my friends, means that we put the weight over on Him because of who He is. We say to others, I want to commend this God to you. He is a God who can be trusted. I praise Him because as I offer the sacrifice of praise, my life is lifted in a way that I would not have known it had I not been praising Him. Dr. James Stewart, one of my favorite authors, says that praise becomes a duty, but a delightful duty when we understand that God, by His very nature, solicits praise from us. The sacrifice of praise. He who offers it glorifies God. We honor God. We take God, my friends. I tell you, I cringe when I hear people using the name of my Savior so carelessly, putting it in the gutter. If they only knew that God, that God whose name they use so flippantly is the God I adore and a God I love and a God I seek to praise because of the wonder of His person, if those people only knew how my heart breaks when His name is used that way, because I want to praise Him, to lift His name above every other name. That's what the psalmist has here. He who praises glorifies God. We can't lift God. There's a chorus in one of our chorus books that says, "Lift God higher." My friends, we are not capable of doing that. We can't lift God higher than He is. God is the one who can lift us. I suppose what the songwriter meant, that we should take the name of God and lift it to the place of its worthiness. But my friends, that will not happen in a song. We do not lift the name of God in a song. We lift the name of God as with our minds. We bring our faculties to gaze upon what God has revealed about Himself. And before too long, we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. A life of God. Friends, I wanted to turn to a great, great text. The power of Christian praise is not simply a life approved by God. But here is the beauty of it. A life approached by God. A life approached by God. Turn, if you please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And to save time, I will read it. 11 to 14. I will read the entire text. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 11. And when the priest came forth from the holy place, for all the priests were present, sanctified themselves without regard to division. If we are to praise God aright, my friends, we must prepare to do it. The priests had sanctified themselves, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Juham, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar in order. They're not just flippantly getting all around, let's have a praise fest. None of that. They came together with order. There was discipline. There was intelligence. Let's go on. And the instruments and the music. When they praised the Lord, saying, "He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Praise, my friends, Christian praise is powerful because it is a life approved by God. But all deeper and higher, it is a life approached by God. When they started to praise the Lord, the presence of the Lord came. The house was filled with the glory of the Lord. Here we see, my friends, that when we move aside and focus upon God, when we remove every stumbling block from our lives, that we can give the purest praise to God. Our praise becomes the pavement by which God comes to us and fill not only the house of God, but the child of God. The presence of the Lord. That presence, my friends, which the Apostle Paul saying, we gaze upon the glory of the Lord and we are changed into His image from one state of glory to the next. That's the power of praise. It transforms the life because of the presence of God. He comes in when everything else goes out. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 22 and verse 3 that God inhabits the praises of His people. He comes to dwell as someone settles in a house. When the people of God praise God, the presence of God can be assured. The praises of God. Oh, I ask myself, have I known some of this great, great elevating experience where God comes into my life and I am lost to everything around me. I am conscious only of His glory. The glory that fills my heart focuses my attention upon the splendor, upon the beauty, upon the grace, upon the power, upon the works of God. And friends, when we do that and He comes in, our problems will not simply seem small, because our problems are our problems. But I'm going to tell you what it will do with our problems. It will put them in perspective. It will put them where they belong. We will come to the place where we say with Horatius Bonar, "Fill all my life with praise, O God, not only in the ordinary things, but in things which are extraordinary. May my life be a temple of praise, because I know that in praising God, I can be assured of His presence. And when the presence of God, my friends, is with His people, who can stand before them?" Who can stand this God? Do you recall what it says in the Old Testament? That when the Canaanites heard of the work of God on the behalf of His people and His presence with them, long before they got there, they were terrified. Not one was able to stand before them because of the presence of God. That's the power of praise. I invite you, my friends, to enter into that lifestyle of praise, not an ignorant, empty-headed kind of praise the Lord anyhow or anyway. No, but an intelligent, a deliberate discipline in our lives where we ask ourselves again, is God God? Yes, then if He is God, He is worthy of our praise, and we bring ourselves to do it, no matter how we feel. And we will find an exit for the burdens we carry. I found it 2 mornings ago, and I commend my God to you, for He's worthy of praise. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how can we find proper words with which to praise you? Help us to understand this evening that praise is not something that I always feel like doing, but praise is something that I should always be doing. It changes life. It changes the life of the one who is praising. And circumstances take their rightful place in the presence of God when the people of God discipline themselves to praise Him. Grant to us, Father, this week that we will make the pavement of praise an entrance for God into our lives in a deeper and significant way we have never known before. So that when men and women come in contact with us, they will be able to say, they have been with Jesus. Yea, Jesus is with them. And that no man touch the glory of God, but that God alone be glorified. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is a hymn of praise, number 63. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Number 63. Please enter into praise as Bill comes to lead us.
Would you stand together with us, please, as we sing?
Praise Him. Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit fill your heart with praise now and until Jesus Christ comes and then forevermore. Amen.
Bethlehem. In a hurry, are we? My wife needs to lie down. The baby is due soon.
You should have left her at home.
I could not have left her alone in Nazareth. Not now.
So you have a room